Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And don't forget, our next 30 Issues Wiki program will be this Friday on Obama and McCain's health care proposals. Our 30 Issues Wiki, like Wikipedia, is not just a comments page. It's a way for you to collaborate with each other to help produce six of our 30 Issues in 30 Days presidential election series programs. Suggest guests and questions and audio clips, for example. Check out the 30 Issues Wiki at wnyc.org/30issues. Now, within the last year, the activist anti-poverty group ACORN claims to have registered 1.3 million new voters. But ACORN is at the center of a voter fraud controversy, and it's not the first time. Claims have started swirling around that their voter registration drive, Project Vote, has systematically produced fraudulent voter registrations. Of the 13,000 canvassers employed to register voters, several were fired by ACORN for allegedly cutting corners and fudging names. But how widespread is the fraud really? And is it fraud against ACORN, as they claim, or fraud by ACORN, as their critics say? Also, how much will the ACORN story be used as an excuse for voter suppression efforts in these last weeks before the election? And how much should anything that ACORN may have done rub off on Senator Obama? Joining us to give their sides of this growing controversy, we have John Fund, Wall Street Journal editorial board member, back with us. He's also the columnist and author of the book Stealing Elections: How Voter Fraud Threatens Our Democracy. And Lorraine Maniti, assistant professor of political science at Barnard College, Columbia, and co-author of the forthcoming book As Many As We Could: Keeping the Black Vote Down in America. Welcome, both of you. Thank you both for coming on today. Hello.
Thank you.
Hello, Brian.
So ACORN has acknowledged, as I understand it, that a handful of their hired canvassers have been fired for voter registration fraud. Last week, the ACORN offices in Las Vegas were raided after Nevada election officials received complaints about registrations that they turned in, claiming that ACORN was registering people multiple times, fudging names, using false addresses. John Fund, put this in the biggest possible context as you see it. How widespread is fraud, if you call it fraud, by ACORN as a group?
Well, first of all, let's celebrate the fact that we're going to have tremendous voter interest in this election. The vast majority of these 1.3 million people are legitimate voters. But it does cast a shadow over the process, and it certainly raises questions about ACORN, that for about the fourth election in a row, they seem to be embroiled in these scandals. Every 2 years, ACORN launches registration drives. Every 2 years, it seems to run into the same problems. And every 2 years, it says, we're going to have quality controls. We're going to clean up our act. And every year, it seems to fall apart. In Las Vegas, they went to Mr. Lomax's office. He's the nonpartisan head of the Las Vegas election office. And they promised him all these quality controls. He said that their efforts were, quote, pathetic, unquote. And the person who initiated the raid in Las Vegas was the Democratic Secretary of State, Ross Miller. And when ACORN criticized his raid and said it was a stunt to hold down minority voting in November, this is his response. It is very disappointing to think that ACORN would minimize the importance of maintaining integrity in the election system. It is the equivalent of a suspected bank robber suggesting he was arrested because the public had nothing better to do. Much of what ACORN does is good work. I've looked at some of their housing affiliates. Many of them do good work. But their voter registration efforts are a disaster that recurs every 2 years. They always say they're going to clean up their act. And former ACORN employees tell me this is not just a problem with lower-level employees. This is a problem with supervisors. This is a problem with higher-ups in the organization. And, in fact, in Las Vegas, one of their supervisors was a convicted felon who had served time for identity theft. That's not the kind of person you want to put in charge as a supervisor.
Lorraine Maniti, you just released a report called The Politics of Voter Fraud, which states that statistically between 2002 and 2005, there were only 24 people in the entire nation that either pled guilty to or were convicted of voter fraud. We'll see if John wants to question that number. But how do you look at the ACORN situation? Do you think this is systemic and up the chain, as John Fund was saying? Or do you think maybe they were defrauded by these individuals who they hired, as they claim?
Well, Brian, I think that what we have here are really two competing stories about what this election is going to be about. And one of those stories, one of the political parties, wants to make Acorn and voter fraud the story. The other one wants to make new voters the story. And I think in the end, new voters are going to be the story of record turnout in this coming election. I think that Acorn is really has become the fall guy in a Republican Party effort to make voter fraud the story of this election. And, you know, they're doing this because so many people want to vote, and turnout is likely going to benefit the Democrats if, you know, the numbers from what we know about the new registration are correct, which is that it's very lopsided on the Democratic side. I do not think this is a systematic problem. I think that, in fact, this is actually a quite serious smear of a organization. It's really a network of community organizations that's been around for almost 40 years. And, you know, what they're trying to do over this 40-year period is they've been, you know, sort of slowly working toward organizing poor people and giving them a voice in American politics. And part of that is, you know, what we all want them to do, which is to get more people to vote, to bring them into the political process so that they can actually have some role to play in public policy and in decision-making.
Sure.
So I think this is verged on a very serious smear that is undeserved by this organization. There have been some problems with temporary workers, but think about it this way. If Macy's, the department store Macy's, has some of their employees stealing from them, do we accuse Macy's of being a quasi-criminal organization, which is what some Republican Party officials have called Acorn? I don't think so.
Well, Professor Maniti, Josh Marshall of the liberal website Talking Points Memo thinks this whole thing is exaggerated, but he also says that he's not a big fan of what Acorn does, which is to employ people to go out and do voter registration rather than rely on volunteers. And the fact that it's an employment situation provides various incentives, that some people will use perversely to go out and fraudulently register people because they think it's in their interest to do so. Do you have a problem with Acorn using the professionals, people they hire, to do voter registration, and that actually increases the risk of this voter fraud
fraud? You know, the larger problem is the system that we have of registering voters. And, I mean, Acorn is filling a gap that is there because we have a system of voter registration that has been created over 100 years in which the onus is really on the individual voter to get themselves registered. And we've thrown all kinds of obstacles in the way. Many of them have come down over the years through election reform initiatives and so forth. But we have a system that generates the opportunities to create problems. And I don't have a problem with Acorn employing people because this is the culture of the organization. They are working for low-income people, and there are a lot of unemployed people out there. They put them through training. They've built up over the last 4 years a quality control operation that is independent of the hierarchy, if you will, in the sort of national organization which employs people in different states to register voters. They've separated that. They've tried to work with election officials. They want to be on the same side of election officials and trying to help them to do their work, and they have a very difficult job to do. And you're seeing these stories this week because registration deadlines in many states
are coming. In New Jersey tomorrow, by the way, New Jersey listeners, if you haven't registered yet, the deadline to register is tomorrow. So, John Fund, Josh Marshall on TPM says the fraudulent voter registration cards don't actually materialize into fraudulent votes. He writes, if I successfully register Mickey Mouse to vote, on Election Day, Mickey Mouse will still be a cartoon character who cannot go to the local voting station and vote. And he goes on to argue that all this talk about voter fraud is really just a way to justify voter suppression. But what about his technical point about these fraudulent registrations just not really being able to result in actual fraudulent votes?
2 points. Even if that were true, dumping hundreds of thousands across the country of fraudulent registrations or suspect registrations on overworked election officials is going to mean that some mistakes are going to be made. Some valid voters are not going to be registered. Some invalid voters are going to be registered. It is unfair to election officials, and they are complaining in droves about Acorn's tactics. So even if they don't translate into actual fraudulent votes, it is an assault on the system. In addition, if you have 15 to 20% of the voters' lists in many states, deadwood, people who have moved out of state, people who have been made ineligible for reasons of a criminal conviction, or people who are dead. We just learned, for example, that 5,000 voters in Florida who are felons routinely vote in elections. We just learned that there are 30,000 people in Houston, Texas on the dead rolls. There is nothing to prevent, especially in states without a voter ID law, nothing to prevent someone from voting. We wouldn't know if it happened because there's almost no way to detect it. Lastly, I would just say to Professor Beniti, I understand that there are partisan divides on this issue, but what's happened this year, which is different, is the number of Democrats and liberals that have come forward to say, we like Acorn registering people, but their methods are suspect. Hank Shinecoff, who was President Clinton's strategist, I spoke with him this morning. He is very concerned about Acorn being a bad apple in these activities. Pat Caddell, who was Gary Card's pollster, has been on television complaining about Acorn and saying that they don't seem to be able to clean up their act. Mark Potter, who's the deputy elections director in St. Louis and a Democrat, is very bitter about his experience with Acorn. The Secretary of State of Nevada is concerned, and he's a Democrat. I can give you 3 or 4 or 5 other people who are concerned about this, and I just have to ask her, all of these Democrats coming forward expressing concerns about Acorn's management and its style. Then you have the former employees of Acorn. They formed a group called Speaking Truth to Power. What does Speaking Truth to Power complain about? That Acorn crushes union efforts. They engage in anti-union activities against Acorn employees who want to unionize. In fact, the NLRB has sanctioned Acorn for its anti-union activities. And they also sued the state of California a few years ago to exempt themselves from minimum wage. Why is an organization that's fighting poverty, that claims to want to hire people and employ them to gather signatures, why in the world would they sue the state of California to exempt themselves from the minimum wage? Why?
Professor Manetti?
I'd like to respond to that. I mean, first of all, of course, I don't work for Acorn, and I'm...
Well, do you think anything that Acorn does is objectionable?
Let me just try to respond to your litany of complaints. First of all, the point about Democratic officials being upset with Acorn, I think, shows quite clearly, that Acorn is not coordinating with Democrats, and Acorn is not working for Democratic politicians like Barack Obama, which I think you and also a number of people I've seen on Fox TV continue to allege. So that puts that point,
Professor, can you tell me
Let her finish, and you can come back.
She said that I have said that Acorn is coordinating with Obama. Where have I said that?
I said on Fox TV. It's a well-known fact, and in fact, the McCain campaign has tried to link Acorn to Obama. So
what
this
did
is
I
out
say?
There. This is out there, and
what did I say?
I think the point about the Democratic officials being upset is also partly because you can imagine from their point of view. When Acorn becomes the story, and the smears and the sort of understory about Acorn being linked to Democrats has got to make a lot of Democratic Party officials upset. That's part of it. But it also shows that Acorn is not linked or not working with, not coordinating with the Democrats, which has been this charge. So that's one.
Let me stop there for a second. John Fund, do you disagree with these? I think there's a new commercial from the McCain campaign today that tries to link Acorn's problems with Barack Obama. You don't do that?
What I have said And it's very specific. I have said Barack Obama has a long history of associations with Acorn, which he has tried to deny. And I think he has obscured the truth about his associations with Acorn. And what I have said is, I think because of those associations, and because Barack Obama was endorsed by Acorn's Political Action Committee, and because Barack Obama, you know, gave very complimentary words to Acorn last November when he spoke to their national leadership meeting, I think it would behoove Barack Obama to criticize Acorn and to criticize Acorn's methods because they're casting a shadow on this election. I have not said that Acorn is coordinating voter fraud activities with the Barack Obama campaign. And if you can give me a quote from that, I'd be happy to stand corrected. What did I say?
This tactic of requiring people to repudiate their allies is McCarthyite, and I don't think that we should engage in that.
I think John McCain should repudiate any of his supporters who make aspersions about Barack Obama's religious background.
Do you know that what case Barack Obama represented Acorn on? Do you know what that case was about?
The motor voter law.
That's right. The state of Illinois was refusing to implement the National Voter Registration Act, and the Justice Department and other organizations like Acorn went to court to force a number of states to implement that law.
So when people say Obama represented Acorn as its lawyer, it was in that case when Obama and Acorn and the U.S. Justice Department were all on the same side.
That's right.
Well, it was the Clinton Justice Department which had passed the motor voter law, so it shouldn't be surprising that they would support their own law.
Well, I'm surprised that you wouldn't want more people to vote, John. I think that when you have to take a state to court to get it to implement a federal law that's trying to make it easier for people to register, I think you'd want to be on the side of that.
Were you on the state of Illinois side in that case, John?
Well, I think the state of Illinois was saying that it was an improper federal mandate, and I disagreed with part of their case, and I would have agreed with part of the rest of the case. On the motor voter law, it has led to an enormous number of registrations on the rolls that can't be taken out because of overly burdensome restrictions.
That is not correct. You are inaccurate when you say that.
John, go ahead.
It is, in addition, I think the postcard registration system is a good idea, but it needs to be tightened up, and there need to be more safeguards built into the postcard registration system. HAVA added one safeguard, which was valuable. I think we need a couple of others. All I am saying is May I finish?
You said a couple of others. We'd like to hear what your ideas are for improving the law.
Because we have 1 minute left, I would just simply like to say the associations with Barack Obama with Acorn go into the fact that he's held training sessions for them. The Project Vote, which is an Acorn affiliate and was allied with Acorn and part of Acorn's umbrella organizations back in 1992, he led voter registration efforts for them. He also has carried their bills in Congress, and he also sat on the board of the Woods Fund, which channeled over $200,000 to Acorn. The associations with Acorn go far beyond his legal representation.
We can go a little longer with this if you both have the time. I think it's interesting and important. Lorraine Menitti, go ahead.
I don't know what...
I will answer her question now. Absentee voting is a problem in this country.
Motor voter doesn't have anything to do with absentee voting.
Excuse me. I guess I'm not going to be allowed to finish. I'm sorry.
John, go ahead.
Absentee voting, and this is an area where I have disagreements with many Republican legislatures that pass voter ID laws. I think they're looking at part of the problem, but a much bigger part of the problem is absentee voting. Absentee voting is facilitated when you have a system of postcard registration where you don't have to appear before an election official, you don't have to show any documentation that you're a citizen, and I'm not suggesting you do, but I'm simply saying it is very easy to fill out an absentee voter's ballot application if you're registered by postcard. In theory, you have to show ID in some states, but in states like Oregon, they even allow you to cast an absentee ballot without an ID. And I think that we need to tighten up the absentee ballot laws. I think we can improve the postcard registration system to make it mesh with the absentee ballot law so that there's less absentee ballot fraud. And if you don't believe there's absentee ballot fraud, go talk to Sura Rodriguez, who was the head of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, who lost a Democratic primary in 2004, who claimed voter fraud in that election. Go talk to the Reform Democrats in St. Louis and Detroit, who say absentee ballot fraud led to their defeat at the hands of a political machine. And go talk to James Lasky, who was the city clerk for Mayor Daley family in Chicago will tell you how absentee ballot fraud is committed.
So, Lorraine, on the report that you released just recently called The Politics of Voter Fraud, which said there were only 24 people in the entire nation who either pled guilty to or were convicted of voter fraud in 3 years, from 2002 to 2005. Does that include those instances that John Fund was just talking about?
That is data from the Justice Department's effort to root out voter fraud, because in 2001, 2002, Attorney General John Ashcroft implemented a new program at the Justice Department in which they deployed all of the U.S. attorneys around the United States. They trained them. They brought them in. They wanted them to go out and look for voter fraud. And, you know, your listeners will be familiar with what's sometimes called Attorneygate, but the scandal in the firing of U.S. attorneys, several of them, because they followed the program, but when they didn't find voter fraud, this upset some people in the Republican Party, and they wanted those U.S. attorneys gone, and several of them were fired for that. So the data that you're citing to comes from a full effort on the part of the federal government to find fraud, and we end up with, and I can tell you also, which you don't have in this report, but will be in my book, I've looked at every single case brought in federal court going back to 1996. And you know what I find, Brian? Mm-hmm. I find that if you look at just election law violations in total of this kind, there are more violations of the nation's migratory bird law than there are election laws at the federal level.
I want to ask you,
problem.
We are going to run out of time in 2 minutes,
yeah,
for
I
real.
I need to respond very briefly. First of all, the migratory bird law is a federal law. It would only show up in federal court. Vote fraud is a decentralized crime which is prosecuted at the federal level, at the state level, and at the local level. The majority of voter fraud prosecutions are at the state and local level and would not be included in the
federal. So let me ask you both this last question, because a lot of our listeners probably saw the front page New York Times story by Ian Urbina last week that said several swing states have purged their voting rolls of tens of thousands of names. They use Social Security list instead of state list, which apparently violates federal law. Colorado, Louisiana, Michigan, the number of people purged from the election rolls since August 1st far exceeds the number who may have died or relocated during that period. So it's not clear, the article says, if this is a coordinated effort by either party. But can you each just give me a minute on what's going on here as you see it? Lorraine Menitti, how big of a problem is this going to be with purged voters from the rolls in swing states on Election Day?
Well, what you're pointing to is very important, and it helps us put this voter fraud question in context. And that is that, in fact, there are more voters likely to not have their ballot counted, not necessarily for nefarious reasons, but because they cannot comply with the law. The laws are so complicated in some cases for what should count as a vote and who gets to vote a provisional ballot, and did you sign the envelope, and did you check the box, and so forth. And, you know, we know this from looking just at the 2000 election, when a study by two universities found that somewhere between 4 and 6 million votes were lost in the 2000 election. These were, as they said, qualified voters who wanted to vote but could not or were not counted. 4 to 6 million. And what we're talking about here with voter fraud, I think this shows, it's just a distraction from the kinds of problems
much
that could
larger
occur.
Problems of people not voting.
And not necessarily nefarious on the part of the parties trying mm-hmm. to intimidate voters, but because of all kinds of other problems associated with the complex electoral system that we have.
John Fund, a last word maybe on the relative seriousness of these problems.
One of the Democratic chairs in Colorado said there were serious factual problems with the New York Times article, but let me go on record as saying, I do not believe that we do a good enough job in protecting people from being purged from registration lists. There certainly was problems in Florida in 2000 when people were incorrectly identified as felons. That was wrong. But we also have to remember there's the other side of the story. The Palm Beach Post and the Miami Herald two liberal newspapers discovered that there were 3,800 felons in Florida in 2000 who were ineligible and did cast votes. So it happens on both sides. I'm opposed to people being purged by bureaucratic bungling and incompetence or nefarious means. I'm also opposed to having people who shouldn't be voting on the registration rolls.
All right. John Fund, Wall Street Journal editorial board member and columnist, author of Stealing Elections, How Voter Fraud Threatens Our Democracy. Lorraine Maniti, professor of political science at Barnard, co-author of the forthcoming book, As Many As We Could, Keeping the Black Vote Down in America, also with Demos, and the new report called Politics of Voter Fraud. Thank you both very, very
Brian,
much.
Yes. Brian, can you give your listeners the Election Protection Coalition phone number? They can report any problems on Election Day.
Go
to
ahead.
866 R Vote. O-U-R, vote, 687-8683. And that website has a lot of helpful kinds of things. You can check your polling site, check if you're registered to vote, and you can call in with problems.
What's the web address?
It's www.866-O-U-R-V-O-T-E.org.
Thanks again to both of you.
Just to add bipartisan agreement,
go ahead.
I think as many hotlines as possible, whether they're run by the government or by outside groups, so people can call in complaints regardless of what they are, will help our election system work and will increase confidence in the election system. So I'm glad there are hotlines like the one that was just given out, and I hope more groups use them.
Common ground. And we'll talk about the politics of tipping in a minute.